is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Morning this morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Wednesday, the 12th of February, 2025, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. We got lots to talk about this morning. It is a man down Wednesday, where we combine On the Clock and Guardian Radio AM to discuss what is in the news. Mr. Newry is on his way to studio, so I am going to get it started by delving into some of these stories. Before we get it started, Kalik is here to remind you about Victory Fest 2025. Kalik, the Bay of the Bahamas, invites you to Victory Fest 2025. Join us Saturday, March 1st at Smuggler's Square for an epic celebration of the 2024 Boxing Day and 2025 New Year's Day Junkanoo winners, the Saxon Superstars. The Junkanoo season may be over, but the celebration is just getting started. Enjoy music by Playhouse DJs, Little Giant and DJ Tank, and performing live, Fanshawn and D-Mac. Let's celebrate the four straight Junkanoo winners, Saxons, Superstars. Yesterday, I mentioned some of the new Kalik Radler flavors, lychee or lychee. Some people call it strawberry on top of that. Mango right now is my favorite. What I find interesting about the mango is that it's like a Bombay mango flavor. I love it, but I cannot wait. I cannot wait until Kalik releases its Tamarind Radler and its Juju Radler, because I feel like a Juju Radler would taste like a soft apple cider or a bubbly apple cider. I think I'm going to love it. So we got lots to talk about in the news today. I wanted to delve back into that story, father sentenced to 5 years for molesting twin 3-year old daughters. I got an update on our SpaceX conversation, commentary from residents in the Turks and Caicos about the response to the SpaceX explosion that took place, I think, last month. And then we have got what is in the news. Oh my goodness, the headlines. Today's Guardian: audit uncovers passport fraud. Multiple agencies involved in audit. Gunshots fired during fight between jitney drivers. Two accused rapists granted bail. FNM senator calls for harsher sex offense penalties. The Tribune headline: not brave enough on marital rape law. Again, commentary from Michaela Barnett Ellis, Senator Barnett Ellis. Alleged victims of police abuse and torture grilled by defense lawyer. Victims recount shark attack on U.S. morning show. So a call in a social media conversation, someone remarked, referencing comments by Senator Michaela Barnett Ellis. What they said was that the prime minister accepts the view of Michaela Barnett Ellis. And I was taken aback because I'm not sure if What the Prime Minister said leaves one to infer that he accepts the view given by Senator Barnett. I want to talk about that a little bit, too. I want to see how much I could get on the table before Mr. Newry comes and I have to share the mic and share the discussion. So let's start here. Father sentenced to 5 years for molesting twin 3-year-old daughters. I have a number of questions that I wanted to ask after reading through several articles in the dailies, in the media, on this issue. So the first article is a Tribune article, 8th of February, so that's Saturday. Father sentenced to 5 years for molesting twin 3-year-old daughters. The next article is a Guardian article, Dad gets 5 years for sex assault on twins. That was Monday's Guardian. Monday's Tribune, 5-year sentence, a dangerous message. And PM decries horrific act against children, 11th of February, 2025. Aaron, there's a text. Aaron, you know, this country never ceases to amaze me. Let a father have a momentary lapse in judgment and mistakenly fondles his twin girls, and female advocates, Equality Bahamas and the Christian Council are all angered. Yet let a woman record herself sexually assaulting a kid on camera, and you could hear crickets from these advocates. Text, did you reread this? Did you reread it before you press send? You said, let a father have a momentary lapse in judgment? See, both instances are equally heinous. Both instances are equally heinous. You are suggesting that what occurred with the father and his twin 3-year-olds is a lapse in judgment? Well, let's go through it since you have prompted me to prepare an even more thorough and critical interrogation. Right? So, here is a quote that I want to read from these articles. The father was charged with 2 counts of indecent assault against his daughters, which carries a maximum penalty of 8 years as opposed to unlawful sexual intercourse with a relative, which carries a maximum life penalty of a maximum life penalty if the perpetrator is an adult and the victim is a minor. That's one quote from the article. Here's another quote. This is the one I really wanted. The father was sentenced shortly after he changed his plea and admitted to indecently assaulting his now 4-year-old daughters. Let me repeat that. The father was sentenced shortly after he changed his plea and admitted to indecently assaulting his now 4-year-old daughters. So I'm going to read now from the article, PM decries horrific act against children. Okay. Y'all forgive me. The judge who presided, okay. Sorry, I'm trying to find a specific, there we go. Due to his relatively early guilty plea and his lack of similar convictions, the convict's lawyer, Sonia Knowles, and Director of Public Prosecution, Cordell Frazier, both told Grant Thompson that they believed a sentence of 4 years was appropriate. That's what I want right there. His relatively early guilty plea. Here's what I think constitutes a relatively early guilty plea in this instance. The trial had already started. It's not like the man pleaded guilty when he was detained. He was detained in August 2024. So the trial had started. Maybe it started in December. Maybe it's 2024. Maybe it started in January 2025. Maybe February 2025. But why is this being regarded as a relatively early guilty plea if the trial had already started? And it wasn't until the accused was forced to listen to his eldest daughter give testimony that he changed his plea. What is relatively early about that? And then how do you reconcile that with your perception that it was a momentary lapse in judgment? I got some more questions. So the convict is being rewarded for his relatively early plea, but he didn't change his plea until after the trial had started and his daughter took the stand. Let me continue to read from the articles. In fact, joining me in studio is Mr. C.A. Newry. He didn't give me much time to run on by myself, but that's okay because today is a Man Down Wednesday where we combine the two shows. I got a couple of questions about this whole matter. The individual was charged with indecent assault, which carries a maximum penalty of 8 years. My question is, why was he not charged with incest with a minor, which carries a maximum sentence of life? Right? That's a very big thing for me in examining this. If that charge was available, right, why wasn't that the initial charge? There's no reference of a plea deal in this in the articles talking about the case. There's no reference that a plea deal was in play. See, because I would have thought as a part of the plea deal, you would have said, listen, we're not going to charge you with incest with a minor that carries a maximum penalty of life. We're going to charge you with a lesser charge, indecent assault, which only carries 8 years. But it doesn't seem like that's what happened. And so my question is, if one of the twins is autistic, right? Why is the sentence only 5 years, and why is he being charged under this offense that limits the amount of time that could be applied in a sentence? One of the children is autistic. See, it's troubling for me because here's another sentence from the same article. PM decries horrific act against children. Due to his relatively early guilty plea and his lack of similar convictions, the convict's lawyer, Sonia Knowles, and Director of Public Prosecutions, Cordell Frazier, both told Grant Thompson that they believed a sentence of 4 years was appropriate. Who is advocating on behalf of the jury? Who's advocating on behalf of the toddlers? Who's advocating on behalf of the autistic toddler? See, I could understand a judge listening to both sides and then making a determination, like maybe even a compromise, finding some place in the middle. But I don't know. It's like I said, both of them, the prosecution and the defense. See, now, here's the next thing. The sentence was 5 years for two counts. That means, like each count only got 2.5 years. And one of the children is autistic. How did this not receive the maximum penalty, which is 8 years, right? But why was it not tried as incest with a minor, which allowed for a greater sentence? Okay. I'm going to read from that particular article from the beginning. Davis, PM decries horrific act against children. PM Davis said yesterday that a recent case involving a father who got a 5-year prison sentence for molesting his twin 3-year-old daughters is horrific. Quote, it should not be happening in our country, close quotes. Davis told the Nassau Guardian when asked for a reaction to the case. Quote, our fathers need to be caring and protective rather than predators of their children, and the full brunt of the law always should be brought to bear in circumstances such as this, close quotes.
That's what you say, stick a pin into it?
Yeah, you could stick a pin because I was getting ready to stick one. You stick first.
I just want you to reread what the Prime Minister has declared that should have happened. The last sentence.
Our fathers need to be caring and protective rather than predators of their children, and the full brunt of the law.
The full brunt of the law.
Always should be brought to
always
bear.
Always should be brought to bear.
In circumstances such as this.
As circumstances such as this. Did that happen?
I don't think so, because there was another law available that provided a bigger sentence, right?
So we have concluded that despite what the Prime Minister says, that the full brunt of the law is not happening.
Yeah. I didn't know that's where you were going to stick your pin. You know where I was going to stick my pin?
Where going to stick your pin?
Our fathers need to be caring and protective rather than predators of their children.
That's a given.
Yeah, you didn't need to put it of their children. That's implied.
Of people.
You just say predators. Don't be predators. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of people who have a predilection for sexual violence feel like it's not their children, so it's okay.
Yeah. They abuse other people's children.
Yeah. So let's just blanket that one. Just don't be predators.
Yeah.
Don't have to be your children.
Yeah.
Anybody's children. And everybody is somebody's child.
Does the prosecutors at the, I assume that's Attorney General office, do they share the Prime Minister's sentiment that it should be the full brunt of the law?
Well, DPP.
DPP, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
They all come under the Attorney General. Do they share the sentiment of the Prime Minister? This is why they're there. Such crime as this needs to have the full brunt of the law.
Man, listen, I can read the sentence again. Due to his relatively early guilty plea and his lack of similar convictions. They didn't say lack of convictions, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They said lack of similar convictions.
Mm-hmm.
Lack of similar conviction. The convict's lawyer, Sonia Knowles, and director of public prosecutions, Cordell Frazier, both told Grant Thompson that they believed a sentence of 4 years was appropriate.
They came to an agreement. The prosecutor and the defense lawyer.
You think they spoke to the victim?
Well, I'm assuming so.
Three-year-old toddler?
Well, not the victim. I see what you did there.
Sorry,
I'm
for
assuming
that.
Now the assailant is now the victim. So that's why they're negotiating on his behalf.
I don't know.
Because they now plead to the judge and say, Judge, we have come to an agreement that 4 years is adequate.
Right. Davis said the judge, okay, let me continue to read from this article. However, the judge departed from the sentencing recommendation and imposed a sentence of 5 years to take effect from February 7th. The time that the father spent on remand was taken into consideration. Why? It's not a plea deal. Why are you taking it into consideration? In passing sentence, Grant Thompson told the man that he had committed a serious breach of trust. Davis said the judge likely took into account a multitude of factors to arrive at a sentence she deemed appropriate. Quote, it doesn't make it wrong what the judge did. It just raises the question that it might offend others or grieve others that they didn't think the punishment was enough, close quotes, Davis said. Quote, we have to be careful when we as politicians cross the line to tell the judge what is an appropriate sentence in an appropriate case.
Can society tell the judge what is an appropriate sentence in a particular case?
That's not the job for us.
So whose job is it? Who should cry out? Who should cry foul? Who should say, I am concerned? Who is the judge's boss? Does the judges have any boss? Do they work completely in autonomy in terms of their sentencing? What if the judge gave him 6 months? Can we complain and say something is odd? What you mean, 6 months? Who is it to cry out and say something is wrong? Can any judge be questioned in this sentencing?
No. See, you have to be very careful here, right?
I'm just asking.
Separation of powers. You have to be very careful how you critique. And the arms of government have to be very careful how they speak about the other arm. Because they cannot be seen, they cannot direct and cannot be seen
I'm
or
not
thought
saying
to be directing,
that they're supposed to be directing
the
them.
Other.
Are we able to question sentences? Not directing. Scenario. If the judge said, man, there is no penalty. I'm not even going to give him, 4 years?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give him probation. Just probation because they saw it. It's their choice. Can someone say, no, something is wrong?
I think so, but we take that to the legislators, right? We take that to the legislators. Mr. Newry, I am so upset because in the notes that I took down yesterday, I was certain that I captured statements by the Prime Minister talking about just that, right? Like suggesting that it is not the executive and the legislature's fault. Okay, here we go. From the same article, quote, this is the Prime Minister, in respect to the sentencing, it's very difficult when you consider our constitutional construct for the executive or legislature to fetter the discretion of a judge, because it is the judge who ultimately determines what sentence is appropriate for the offense committed, Davis said. Quote, it's not the executive, it's not the legislature, we set the guidelines, close quotes. Now, I find that disingenuous because you don't set the guidelines, you create the laws. You create the law that defines the scope that the judge can operate within. Let's stick a pin and go to the phone line for a second, Yuri.
Yeah.
It been buzzing for a minute. Good morning, caller.
Morning, Aaron, and good morning, Yuri.
Morning, morning.
Yeah, with respect to this matter, which is very egregious, I could hardly think of an adjective to describe this because the sentencing guidelines at 8 years was the maximum. Under these circumstances, what I had expected to hear is that at this point, this is a matter where the Attorney General can appeal this matter because this is something should be appealed. You're not confronting the judge, you appeal it. This matter should be appealed because we had a situation in 1980 where two people were acquitted of murder and the former Solicitor General, Mr. Hilton, was made to resign, right? So what I'm saying is that a matter of this nature, this is 1980, a matter of this nature should be appealed by Attorney General. This is egregious, and the vehement people should be outraged, male and female. Go to Parliament and demand that this matter be dealt with immediately, with immediate effect. Draft should have already been done and ready for the next sitting of Parliament to have this matter, this law appealed and amended.
Yes, sir.
I appreciate
that's
you,
what should happen in this case.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The caller hints to society and the wherewithal or lack of wherewithal or the gumption of society. There has been no outrage. You know. There has been no marches. There has not been any challenge or call for an accountability.
No overt or substantive challenge. Because
yes.
The advocates are speaking in the media.
See, speaking in the media don't bother me. I talking about an outrage that caused people to think twice, to have in consideration, when I'm making my decisions, right. I have to see how this impacts society. One, two people talking and no one else hearing it does not impact.
I feel you. But let's get back to that quote by the Prime Minister. In respect to the sentencing, it's very difficult when you consider a constitutional construct for the executive or legislature to fetter the discretion of a judge, because it is the judge who ultimately determines what sentence is appropriate for the offense committed. Davis said, quote, it's not the executive, it's not the legislature, we set the guidelines, close quotes. I want to challenge that. Not the judge, not the judge's decision to grant 5 years sentence.
We know she has a decision. We're not questioning
that. Yeah, we're not questioning that at all. I first of all want to question or critique this statement. It's not the executive, it's not the legislature. We set the guidelines. The legislature sets the law. You're literally write it. You could appeal it and amend it, right? I mean, I'm sure you could say that incest with a minor cannot be, well, how would you put it? But surely, like what, you write the laws? You could write anything into the law and it's going to be good law until a judicial review happens and it's challenged constitutionally.
Remember a judge in terms of a sexual battery when she said the law does not recognize
rape. Right.
And she said she
has a grounds for divorce.
She says she's bound by that.
Right.
But she mentioned mental cruelty.
Right.
Right, but it couldn't be rape. But she says because
Rape is not defined.
Defined law.
Marital rape is not defined in the law. Mm-hmm. Producer, let's go to the phone line. Callers, let us be very careful. Don't mind me. I'm a little excited because the weight of this matter. Good morning, caller.
Hey, good morning, Aaron Carson. Good morning, Mr. Neary.
Morning.
You know, I don't want to sound like a broken record, but yesterday I asked the question, you know, these I know they were probably always happening, but they are probably more now being reported, these cases of what we're faced with today. And it seemed to be more frequent. Why is it that the persons who are there to, like you say, make the laws, why haven't they adjusted the law to match a stiffer penalty? Why is it we still living with the arcade law? Why? What's going on? Don't they live in the same community as we do? You know, they don't see that these things are being more frequent than used to in the past.
Or it is more
something about it.
Or it's more prevalent than we previously thought.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And that's because it's now being reported more than it was before. So keep up with the times. Change the laws to match what's going on. You're sitting there saying, oh, it's not me, it's him. Oh, no, it's not him, it's her. No. Cut that out. We're not into that. And I don't want to hear somebody come back and say, oh, but the FNM, I don't want to hear that. They're not the government. You are. Fix it.
Thank you, ma'am.
Like I said, go to the next caller. I said, Aaron, I don't see the outcry, though. The vexation of spirit.
Well, we have commentary from other
small
elements.
Commentary.
We could read it. Let's read it first and wait.
We talk about outcry and you talk about commentary. I hear you. We talk about outcry. I talk about the rage is so loud and so deafening. It has to be a response. There will be no response.
Good morning, caller. We can see you.
You think there could be a response?
We can see. Good morning, caller.
Go ahead, morning caller.
Good morning, caller.
Yes, good morning, Aaron. Good morning, CA.
Morning.
I hope you're doing well.
Yes, sir.
You know, the Prime Minister is talking out of two mouths, you know. One minute you are so aggrieved at the sentencing, and the other thing you're saying that the judges' discretion and what they could do. Aaron, who makes up the penal code?
You tell me that one. Answer that one for me, because I don't know the answer.
Yes, the penalties that the judges hands out.
Yeah, the legislature.
Right. That's the government. Mm-hmm. The government makes up the penal code. The judges don't just go out of their head and say, I'm going to give you this. They have to operate within the parameters of the penal code, from X to Y, or Y to X, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So the Prime Minister, if you are so aggrieved by this heinous act, you in Parliament today, the Prime Minister can go and change the law and give the judges more latitude in handing out stiffer penalties.
Mm-hmm.
But Aaron, all they can do is talk. I remember Andrew Allen, he was on one of the national talk show, and he said that in the Cayman Islands, they have very strict gun laws. And this couple, the judge, they were found with an illegal weapon in their house. They mm-hmm. gave the judge some affirmation or whatever, and she gave him like a tap on the wrist. Man, them people, listen here. They were up in arms. They were serious.
Mm-hmm.
And she had to come and explain and try to explain her way out of a situation. Man, these judges, they are human. They're not sacrosanct, okay? And we have a right to question these things. Some of these sentences, we have to look at these with side eye, because you say, these judges, are they from planet Earth or are they from Mars? You know what I mean? Because some of these decisions, they just don't make sense to right-thinking people, man.
I would like to read the ruling from the judge in its entirety and see if the judge references at any point that this was tried as indecent assault versus incest with a minor.
Yeah, but listen, we have to, you know, like you said, who is speaking for the children?
Yeah.
Where are the voices? Who will speak for those who cannot speak for themselves?
Yes.
And we, the people, those of us who have some modicum of decency, our voices, if it only be heard on the airwaves, mm-hmm. we need to stand up and speak out and be silent no more. Have a good day.
Thank you very much, sir. Thank you very much. So, Mr. Nuri, there are a number of voices okay. have spoken out. Here is an article, Reaction to Father Molesting 3-Year-Old Twin Daughters. That's ZNS. Monday night's broadcast. Officials at the Bahamas Crisis Center are speaking out after a man was sentenced to 5 years in prison after he admitted to molesting his 3-year-old twin daughters. The story was first reported in one of the local morning dailies, where the man's third daughter testified as a witness to the act. I imagine that's the eldest, the first child. Lila Green said, quote, when you read the story, you find that there was a lot of dysfunction. A man sleeping with the twins, he was in bed and he slept with them. Whatever is happening in that household, I'm surprised that he only tried to molest them, close quote. Bahamas Crisis Center Director Sandra Dean Patterson spoke to the merits of the Protection Against Violence Act passed in Parliament in 2023. Former magistrate in Bahamas Crisis Center Administrator Cleopatra Christie said, quote, the system is overwhelmed with numbers. It's impossible for a jury to hear hundreds of cases. It just cannot happen. That's the reality of what we know and which we live in today. So plea bargaining is a very important part of our judicial system, close quotes. Here's my thing. There's no reference in the articles that a plea bargain took place.
So a plea bargain did not take place?
There's no reference to it. Mm. Surely you would reference that, right? Especially in the face you presumed there's going to be some backlash from the public. Wouldn't you reference that in the interest of moving the case along for the benefit of the victims? You offered a plea deal, and the plea deal was that we wouldn't try it as incest with a minor. We would try it as indecent assault, which would prompt them, right? But the person didn't take the plea deal.
No.
The thing went to court.
Yes.
And it wasn't until he had to look into the face of, or he didn't have to look, but he was presented with the face of his daughter testifying, that he changed his plea from innocent to guilty.
And then the judge took that into consideration?
After the prosecution and the defense offered, I guess they said that they agreed to a four-year sentence. But is that how the plea deal system works? Mm. We got a caller on the line. Let's go to the caller. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Ms. Green. Good morning, Mr. Nuri.
Morning, sir.
Yeah, Ms. Green, thank you very much for putting out that information as to how we reacted post seeing the child or whoever, the 16-year-old, like in court. That brings some clarity, right? But a little joke here for us. Maybe we need an AI autonomous robotic judge, right? You understand what I'm saying?
Oof.
They could use AI for everything else. Just give the AI the information and let it make the decision, and then we could, because if AI make a mistake on him, it wouldn't matter to me, because I don't know if you remember, there was a case in which a guy had sex with his granddaughter and he was given about 30 years or 35 years. It was maybe about a year ago or more. I don't know if you remember that, right?
Yeah.
So maybe this person knows someone, but for me, I grew up in the inner city and I hear a lot of stories. There's a story from a migrant family. Mm-hmm. It's a young lady, disclosed some things to me because she was friendly with my brother. And it was happening with her stepdad from she was a young age, and mm-hmm. so she didn't say it until she was big, but it's going on. You know, it's Sandra Dean Patterson, you know, I agree with the lady, but the thing is, Aaron, what hurt me yesterday was a friend of mine came into the shop, and he told me that, he said, we just talking, he went to call that his aunt. I said, yeah, I said, what's going on? He said, man, his aunt is a 73-year-old lady. And so I know her, but I don't know her personally, but I know her through him.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was upset. He was upset. And so it reached out and touched me. You understand me?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I know. You understand me? Yeah. So now for me, the caller that called and said that the attorney general office, the AG office, et cetera, whatever, should appeal. I thought that was a good thing that he said, because
yes.
This is. I don't know. I hate the comment. I trying to find a rationale behind this decision. You know, Aaron, I read the story last night. I had just had time, and I was like, you know, a 3-year-old, and then it's your own child or whatever. It's really ridiculous. I really would like to hear from the mom or the mother of the children. For me, it's more like a murder. It's basically the same thing. I mean, come on, a 3-year-old. Oh God, bless him, yeah.
Yes, and one of the twins is autistic. I want to start. Oh, Yuri, you want to say something?
I want to make an appeal, and I want to have your opinion. It had been made a decision by the authorities not to release the gentleman's name.
Right. This is a practice. When it involves incest, right? When it's sexual violence of a relative, right? We don't reveal the name or the picture of the accused in the interest of protecting the minors. You don't reveal or expose the minors. But if it's a relative, then when you expose the relative, then you can link to who the child or the minor is, right? And so it's a practice, a journalistic practice, that when it's an instance of sexual violence involving family members, you don't post or reveal the name of the accused in the interest of protecting the victims.
And of course, we all accept that.
Yeah.
When we saw it, we understood the reasoning. And of course, they reminded us of the reasoning. But however, there are tabloids there. There are what I call social media, citizens' news outlets, who went and sought out and declared that this person is the assailant, and put his name, his picture, and of course the information about the children subsequent. And of course, people shared it and pressed like and said, why didn't they post the name earlier? Why is the government trying to hide information? And I wanted you to explain the reason so people of the general public can understand and appreciate that you don't do these things.
It's a journalist.
And this is why you do it.
And if you are an advocate and you feel passionate about this issue, then I would recommend lobbying for a reform of the sex offender registry legislation, creating a sex offender registry that is accessible to the public.
And let's briefly talk about that. Who is the sex registry for?
Apparently, it's not for us. It's supposed to be. I imagine it's supposed to be.
We lobbied for it, and then the government conceded and do it. But the information is not for us.
I'm not 1,000% certain, but I presume that even though it is not accessible to the public, like if I have a school, if I have a primary school, a private school, a daycare center.
You mean a school that's located in every community?
A community center, right?
Once I live in a community, I'll be near a school.
What I'm saying is if I operate an institute that I'm hiring people as a part of my vetting process, I should be able to submit their names to the Ministry of National Security so they could go through the list and tell me whether any of these individuals are on the sex offender registry. That's what I presume is going to happen, considering that it's a private list and it's not accessible to the public.
Hopefully that's what happens.
Right. So for people who are passionate about this issue, I would advise that maybe the most effective advocacy would be in that space, getting the state to reform the sex offender registry legislation and creating a more accessible registry. Yeah. Here's another article. FNM senator calls for harsher sex offense penalties. Free National Movement Senator Michaela Barnett Ellis has called on the government to increase sentences for sexual offenses as she described the, quote, mixed messages the Davis administration is sending about protecting women and girls. Barnett Ellis made the call in the Senate on Monday as she referenced the recent five-year sentence a father received after pleading guilty to the 2024 indecent assault of his three-year-old twin daughters. Under the law, such an offense carries a maximum sentence of 8 years. Quote, last week, a man was sentenced to 5 years for sexually assaulting his three-year-old twin daughters. She said, the lawyers wanted less, and I am grateful to the court for rejecting that foolishness. They are his flesh and blood, his heirs. They are innocent, too young to fight back, and 5 years does not feel like enough punishment for his heinous actions. The maximum sentence for indecent assault is a mere 8 years. We need to increase that. We need to send a clear message that sexual offenses are extremely serious and the sentences will reflect our non-tolerance for this behavior. Barnett Ellis also criticized the, quote, unduly lenient plea deals, close quotes, given to men accused of predatory sexual behavior. Full stop. We're going to a break. When we get back from the break, we're going to continue in that article, and I'm going to I read some headlines I think represent what the senator is saying. Stay tuned to On the Clock. We'll be right back.
Here's a price list of some of the roofing material we carry at Pinda Enterprises. 5/8 pressure treated roofing ply starting at $36.68. Gray Select Water Shield, 134/20 a rule. Felt, £15, £16.50, £30, £19.80. Owens, Corning Duration Shingles, and CertainTeed Landmark Shingles, $56.56 a bundle. Gallon of roof cement, $33.47. All sizes treated dimensional lumber. And of course, we have all nails and all screws. We have 5/8 sheetrock, $28.76. Half inch sheetrock, $22.18. All prices include VAT.
Wait, you know what's going down tomorrow?
Nobody, what happening?
Joe bringing the knife to school? He could do Junior in?
For what?
Wait, he fooled with Joe girl?
Mother sick. And you know Junior don't bark down for nothing. So that means he got a big fight tomorrow.
So whose side you on?
Side? I trying to stay in school, not Simpson fan. You gotta tell somebody about this fight.
Tell somebody? I ain't no snitch. I mean cool enough.
Wait, if you so cool, then you need to stay in school and stay out of the fight.
Yeah, but if I don't hang on Joe's side, him and he boys coming for me next.
Alright, so we definitely gotta tell somebody. We gotta prevent the fight.
What I say, I don't want nobody call me snitch.
We could just call Crime Stoppers. You could report what you know, and nobody gotta know it's you.
So how did it work?
All you gotta do is call them, or you text them through the Crack Crime Bahamas app, and nobody can know it's you.
Then the police come looking for me for more info, and when they finish with them, Joe them coming looking for me?
When you call Crime Stoppers, the calls go directly to Miami, and they don't ask nothing about you. Then you can get the pen from them, and they can claim a reward later using that same pen.
Plus, everything's scrambled, so nobody can read what you're saying.
Calls 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Alpha Sounds Promotion presents Back to Love, an unforgettable evening of smooth R&B vibes and cherished memories. Join us at the Nassau Cruise Port on Saturday, February 15th for a spectacular all-white affair featuring live performances by soul sensations, Freddie Jackson.
Hey everybody, it's Freddie Jackson. I'm coming to Nassau, Bahamas, and we are looking forward to the night of love.
Also performing Regina Bell. Also featuring Bahamas' very own Essence Band, Back to Love. Saturday, February 15th. It's a spectacular all-white affair at the Nassau Cruise Port. Get tickets online. BahamasEtickets.com. Plantation Bar and Grill. Big Boys Cafe. And Tropics Bar and Grill. For more info, contact 822-6863.
And I hope to see you there.
Cause it's my time. All this liquor up in me feeling nice, nice. All these something up in here and they're taking wine.
So welcome back. Welcome back to On the Clock with Erin Green. I want to read from this article just one more time. FNM Senator calls for harsher sex offense penalties. Free National Movement Senator Michael Barnett Ellis has called on the government to increase sentences for sexual offenses as she decried the, quote, mixed messages the Davis administration is sending about protecting women and girls. We're going to pick up from that point. Good morning, caller.
Hello.
Good morning.
Hello.
Good morning, ma'am.
Oh, good morning.
How are you?
How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Great. I'm a first-time caller. I'm listening every day.
Thank you.
All I want to say is, I won't be surprised if the same thing had happened to the 23-year-old when she was at their age. They cannot recall what's happening to her. Because I don't think this is the first time he just gets caught doing it, whoever reported it. But I feel as though this is something that he's been with them for a long time. I mean, this is 23 years old, who they trying to remember that happened to us.
Yes, ma'am. I mean, it is something I think that everybody is questioning. Is this really the first time you ever did it? Thank you very much, ma'am. Thank you, and thank you for listening, and thank you for calling. Absolutely.
Imagine the trauma a child has to go through to testify against her daddy.
Yeah.
To say, I saw you, daddy, and you did this.
Yeah.
The trauma, and mind you, I don't know what happens to that child. I'm not even to the 4 year olds. That teenage ager sense, right? What happens to her in terms of how does she cope moving forward?
Right, absolutely. Well, what we do know from the articles is that the judge has ordered that the daughter that testified and the twins were victims, that the prosecution or the state must ensure they have access to psychological services. Okay. There's also ordered that the father have access to therapy or counseling while in prison, and also to work program. And I guess that's so that he could support the money that he generates from the work program to support his kids. Producer, let's prep the phone line. I want to pick up, I have some articles here that may be what Senator Barnett Ellis is talking about or referencing when she decries the mixed messages from the Davis administration. But I have a caller on the line. Good morning, caller.
Yes, good morning, and first time caller to your show.
Thank you.
I'm listening attentively. You should not, to me, I don't think you should give no plea bargain, especially when it comes to mine. I think because you ain't no negotiating the plea with nobody, you know, like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think there should not be no plea bargain, not when it comes to the minors.
I like that idea. I would say, let us tell the legislature, the MPs, the people who create laws, that we don't think that a plea deal should be accessible in an instance of sexual violence involving a minor, with a minor victim.
Thank you.
I thank you for that suggestion, caller. Okay, so here are some headlines I want to read out loud. PM Davis says rape is rape. Davis asserted that he does not like when people assign different categories to rape, as it is the same heinous act whether in marriage or not. Another headline from the Prime Minister, why do you want to describe rape? Another headline, PM says divorce is a solution for marital rape. Another headline, PM suggests marital rape won't happen under his administration. PM suggests rape a ground for divorce. PM's comments on marital rape unacceptable, activist says. PM, women not equal? Question mark. Y'all ruling us, man. And then, I think that we should also, in determining whether the PLP or the Davis administration is serious about eradicating sexual violence or effective, right, like an effective legal regime to address it, I think that we also need to examine the Davis administration's approach to, or their response to, or their behavior surrounding the Kirk Cornish charge, right? I don't feel like the Davis administration made any serious attempt to compel or cause Cornish to present himself to the police when he was asked to do so. I think that the commentary surrounding the whole matter from PLP actors, agents, and elected officials was problematic, was reckless, and suggested a disregard for the issues that some Bahamians feel are important. I don't think the senator is unreasonable in suggesting, or like the article says, decrying the mixed messages the Davis administration is sending about protecting women and girls. And in that, like one of my favorite texters will say, y'all ain't even mentioning the boys. Y'all ain't even mentioning the sexual violence against men. Texter, I don't even think they take that seriously. I don't think they take sexual violence against men seriously. And I'll say this one thing, and I'll repeat it. The last PLP convention, a message emanating from the PLP camp, a video message intended to attack Shane Gibson and Robin Lines. The video message starts with these words. Shane and Robin pulling train on the PLP. Pulling train is reference of a sexual act where one woman has sex with multiple men. And in this Bahamian dynamic, right, in this Bahamian dynamic, many young girls have experienced that, but as sexual violence. See, now in the world of OnlyFans, some people describe it as a liberatory experience. I'm getting my power back. But for many of the women who have experienced this quote-unquote pull-in train, it's been an act of violence, of sexual violence. Young girls coerced into having sex with more people than they consented to initially. I'm certain that there are mixed messages coming from the Davis administration and its actors about sexual violence towards women and girls and boys.
Before we close the show, and I see we have like 2-3 more minutes,
yes, sir.
Right? In the news, there seems to be a proliferation of sexual attacks against the elderly,
mm-hmm.
women who are 78-year-old plus, senior women,
mm-hmm.
right? And in the news, it's been like 3 or 4 mentioned recently, different people. And I wonder if it should be a concern, an outcry, an educational process for the elderly, for caretakers to be on the lookout. Is this a new trend happening in the Bahamas? Should we sound the alarm? Because I've never seen so many
acts of sexual violence against senior citizens.
Yes, in one period in time, right? I'm very concerned about that because I'm not sure how any child, and I call them child, can attack an 80-year-old woman
mm-hmm.
and rape them.
Mm-hmm.
Something is wrong. And now we seem to have multiple people doing it.
Yeah. And I think we must resist the urge to just find the urge to find someone who we already presume is mentally unwell and attach them to the crime. Because we just presume someone who is mentally unwell is the only person who would do it. Right? Here's a text. It's very sad and disgraceful. Oh, Mr. Newry, look at that text and see if I could read that text out loud. I wanna be very careful.
It's very political. We can ignore it.
Yeah, we could ignore it? Okay, good stuff. Texter, I read it. I got you. All right, so this article in today's Guardian, FNM Senator calls for harsher sex offense penalties. In the Tribune, not brave enough on marital rape law, Senator says Davis government is hesitant to pass legislation. Michael Barnett Ellis, Senator, has accused the Davis administration of lacking the courage to criminalize marital rape, contrasting its hesitancy on the issue with the bold legislative moves the Progressive Liberal Party has made in the past, such as legalizing gaming. No, regulating it. Regulating it is what they did. They regulated it. It was all, at that point, it was already legal. As legalizing gaming, despite opposition from religious groups and others. Quote, this PLP administration is not so brave. They are scared, close quote, she said in the Senate on Monday. She pointed to PM Davis's own words from February 2022 when he declared, quote, rape is rape, and to the Attorney General's assurance that legislation had been drafted to reflect that position. However, she highlighted how just this month the Attorney General suggested there was no political will to pass a law criminalizing marital rape. Quote, the refusal to criminalize marital rape is a condoning of violence against women, close quote, she said, arguing that the government is more afraid of backlash than committed to protecting its citizens. Another headline, Rise Bahamas calls for harsher penalties for violent and sex crimes against children. Mr. Nuri, we are right at the end of that hour. Producer, play some music. It's not been the most lively of shows, but this, I think, is one of the most important things for us to talk about, primarily because the 2-3-year-olds cannot be advocates for themselves in this moment at this age. Again, we call on the legislature, we call on MPs to commit to doing what they can do, what is within their scope. And what is within their scope is creating laws that the word I want to use is they're more responsive to what's actually happening in society, but they give greater protections to the most vulnerable among us. Producer, thank you, thank you, thank you. Mr. Nuri, we're going to pick it up on your hour. You've been on the clock with Aaron Green. Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri is up next. These children are here for us to protect. Not for us. Oh, boy. God bless the parents. God bless the children.
To have a real good time. To let loose and wind down in the bush.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app. Nassau, Bahamas.